In your Bibles, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. If you don't know where Lamentations is, that's all right. It's right after Jeremiah. So find the book of Jeremiah. Can't find Jeremiah, find Isaiah. And it's to the right of Jeremiah is Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. I got to hang out with some preacher friends on Monday and Sunday, Monday, and a little bit of Tuesday. We were spending time together doing some sermon planning and encouragement, laughter, and a lot of fun, and it was great to be with them. And one of my friends is Ron Otto, and he's a minister in Illinois, and he was sharing with me in our car ride together. I hitched a ride with him. He was sharing with me about a season in his life where he was discouraged. I asked him after he told me the story, I was like, hey, can I tell the story? And he's a preacher, and he understood. He's like, yeah, go ahead. So Ron had a younger brother. Ron's brother died when he was 32. He had a brain aneurysm. His brother left behind a wife and his daughter. His daughter was 2 years old at the time. And so Ron was, explaining his own grief, but he was also sharing about his dad. And they were standing over the grave of his brother, and he was standing alongside his dad. His dad was Amos Otto. Amos was Amish, as you can maybe tell from the name. But Amos Otto, looking over the grave of his son, thinking about his granddaughter that's been left without a father. And he said these words, "Sometimes I don't understand God. Sometimes I don't understand God." Lamentations is a book written, I think, based on this sort of question. This question that we ask about, God, why do these things happen? God, why have you seemingly turned your anger in my direction? And maybe in your journey of life, you have found all along the way there's these sort of moments in your life where you start asking these questions about God. And the sort of fundamental truth, this sort of underlying thing that I think we need to hang on to and really hold on to firmly is that God can handle our questions. I think sometimes we feel like we have to treat God with kid gloves. Like if we start asking the hard questions, you know, then God's going to pull out the bigger mallet and give us an even bigger whack across the head. But God can shoulder our frustration and our hurt. The book of Lamentations is rooted in this sort of sense of there is wrong, there is suffering, there is hurt that I'm experiencing. And it may not even be the personal level. It may be the hurt and suffering that you see going on in the world. Turning on the news, looking and wondering and asking God, how did we find ourselves here? And so it's this deeply personal lament. It's this cry of the heart. The book of Lamentations was written, I believe, by Jeremiah. And it's in the midst of the turmoil that has come as a result of Israel's rebellion against God. Israel, as we covered in the book of Jeremiah, they sort of plugged their ears to God. They sent prophets and said, you need to repent and turn back to God. And they're just kind of like little children, la, la, la. And they're not, you know, listening to a thing. And so God, after repeated effort, one prophet after the next, continually pleading with his people, saying, come back to me, or this is going to happen. It finally happens. And what happens is Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor over Babylon, comes in and wipes out Jerusalem. And not just wipes out Jerusalem, the temple where they would worship, the Israelites would worship, Nebuchadnezzar ransacks and like takes everything of worth of all the gold and all of the things. He takes it all out of the temple and is completely destroyed. To put this into context, this would be the most, this event itself that we see described in Jeremiah 52 is the very worst moment in all of the Old Testament. You think, what's the worst moment? This is it. They have been driven from their homes, people have been killed, loved ones are being separated, and the place where they have worshipped is completely destroyed. The book of Lamentations is Jeremiah writing about that grief. Lamentations becomes, for the people of Israel, the book that they will visit in the ninth day of Av, which is a day in their calendar year. And it's the day that they reflect on all of the terrible things that have happened in the story of Israel. You know how you get with your friends and you start whining and complaining? Well, the ninth day of Av is for the Israelites to come together, and they mourn and they weep and they cry out, and Lamentations becomes this expression of their sorrow, of their hurt, of their mourning. I spoke with Dan Johnson this week, and many of you remember Dan, who filled in for me during my sabbatical a couple of years ago. And I told Dan, hey, I'm preaching on Lamentations this week. And he said, oh, that's good. There's one good verse in there. And that's it. There is only one good verse in there. But I want to read from the bad verses, because it's important. And here's why I think it's important that we read the bad verses, quote-unquote bad verses. Because I think that we need, as a people, the ability and the words to express our grief and our sorrow. We need permission to say the things that Lamentation teaches us to say. One of the best lessons I've learned in the study of this, of just trying to understand the Lamentations, is that it is permissive of God for us to lament. But I also believe it to be healing from God. That it's a part of the grieving process is to turn to Him and grieve to Him and express our sorrow and our sadness, our grief, our despair, how we feel about Him. Lamentations picks up this language. And so let's begin reading in the bad verses. Lamentations 3:13. Everything before that is a lot like what we're going to read. I promise we might get to the good stuff today, but let's spend a little bit of time in the hard stuff. In Lamentations 3:13, He pierced my heart with arrows from His quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. This is Jeremiah expressing himself to God. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. Jeremiah writes an expression of his deepest sorrow, and he is a man who is without hope. He is broken. I don't know what it would be like to break your teeth on gravel, but I imagine it's miserable. And this is the expression of how he feels in the darkest moment of all of Israel's history. This is it. Yet in that deepest of sorrow, he will follow with something so important. But before we read it, I want to tell you the rest of the Ronaldo story, and I want to tell you two other stories, and then we'll read this rest of this story, and then we'll arrive at something that I think is beneficial. Did you follow all that? That's what's in my head. So Ron's dad, Amos, standing over the grave, says, sometimes I don't understand God. But then he says, but what else is there? Here's a man so filled with the sorrow at the loss of his son and finding himself in the deepest moments of his own despair, and he realizes, what else is there but God? There is a powerful book by Corrie ten Boom written about her journey protecting Jews in the midst of the Holocaust. And she lived in the Netherlands, and she was protecting the Jews in the midst of that war. And then she was arrested because she was protecting the Jews. Her and her family, they were watchmakers. And she was imprisoned in the lady women's labor camp called Ravensbrück, I think is the name of it. It's German. I'm probably not saying it right or with enough gut. But Corey and her sister Betsy were imprisoned. And in the concentration camp, this labor camp, there were a couple of things that happened. One was Betsy, her health continually deteriorated, and it got to the point where she knew that she was about to die. And she said to her sister before she died 15 days prior, she said, there is no pit so deep and no sorrow so deep that God is not there with me also. The weight of those words, if we could begin to even fathom what it would be like to live in that sort of place with that much sorrow and despair, to be separated from family and loved ones, to be increasingly becoming more and more unhealthy to the point of near death, to say those words, it spoke volumes to me as I was reading accounts of their stories. That was the words of Betsy towards her sister Corey. Now, some days prior to that, Corey and Betsy were struggling because they had lice. Now, don't all start itching your head. I already feel like I got a little itchy head right now just mentioning the story. But the women's labor camp was filled with lice. And Corey said to her sister Betsy, her own words of wisdom, she said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And Betsy was like, sister, you're crazy. And then she doubled down and she said, in everything, give thanks, even lice. Now, I don't know about you, but my faith is not deep enough to thank God for lice, let alone thank God for lice in the midst of a labor camp. But her words echo to us today, and I bring them to you because of her perspective. She looked back at her life, and she looked at what was going on. When Corey and Betsy were taken into the labor camp, they snuck a Bible in. And she was able to say to Betsy, and everything give thanks, even lice, because the guards left them alone because of the lice. They didn't want to go in. And so all of the women with lice were able to have Bible study because of the lice. I don't understand how God works. And I know that I'm paid to know how He works, but I don't know. I'm just coming out honest, right? It's the only job where you can get paid and not know what you're doing. But you know, fake it till you make it. One day I'll get there. I don't understand how God works through these things, but the overarching story of Scripture is God working through the worst of things to bring about His purposes and His goodness. Jeremiah cries out to God, it's like you have broken my teeth on gravel, and I, at this point, am completely helpless. I am helpless and I am hopeless. And then he pens these words. In verse 19, I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. I'm a broken man, and this is the worst I could ever imagine. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. For the weight of the words, great is your faithfulness, to have its richest, most powerful meaning, we have to have sorrow. And that's the thing that I wrestle with is, God, why do we have to have such hard and difficult days? And it's this truth of understanding that God is faithful and God is compassionate. God is abounding in love. And no matter where we find ourselves, and no matter what hurt we find ourselves in, no matter what despair there is in our life, there is this constant beckoning from heaven. The heavenly call from God that says, Jesus loves you. God is faithful. God cares deeply for you. We have been on a journey as a church family, and this summer has been a hard one. I've lost friends unexpected, and I wonder how many times I thought to God, why is it going this way? And I know as a church, and I know in your stories, and I know in your life, and the things going on, and all of this sadness. One of the things I wanted to say today is it's okay to be sad. It's okay to lament. It's okay to express our sorrow and our despair. God can shoulder it. What's most important is that God is doing something within it. And for Jeremiah, it's echoing still today. The great is your faithfulness. You guys may not have realized it, but you've been singing the song, Great is Your Faithfulness. It comes from the Book of Lamentations. That's the only hymn I think we have from it, but we got one nonetheless. And so here's my simple thing. Is that in our suffering, in our sadness, and in our despair, the faithfulness of God never ceases. It never stops. God is there in the midst of all of our hurt and our sadness. And I feel like sometimes we need to be reminded of this, because the despair and the heartache and the hurt can be so real, and it can bear down on us so much. And so here's the reason why I think they pay me the big bucks. Let's turn our attention to Christ, who took on the suffering of our entire world, who took on the suffering of sin, who took all of our punishment, who takes all of the sadness and brokenness in our world, and he offers us this heavenly call of hope. It's him who we cling to. That no matter how far down in the deepest pit of our deepest despair, we know that Christ Jesus went into the deepest place of the deepest despair, in the deepest suffering, in the most humiliating of deaths. And God was there. And we can look at any and every situation we find ourselves in our life, and we can say, in everything we give thanks. For we may not know in the midst of our sorrow and our sadness, we may not understand, but we can trust and know that God will do something good. This incredible thing that God does the most powerful things through our weakness and through our sadness and through our hurt and our failures, that there's no pit so deep that God is not there with us, that in everything we can give thanks. To me, how do we turn our heart to Christ and trust and grow in this? Let us fix our eyes on heaven. Fix our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who became sin so that we would be made righteous before God. Fix your hearts on Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of lament. Father, not many kings want to hear of its servants' complaints. But we praise you that you are not like earthly rulers. That in your kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven, we are your children. And we can come to you with our sorrow and our grief. That you have given us your helper, your spirit. That we are not alone. And God, we have sorrow, and you are well aware of each of our own hurts, our own set of grief and sadness. And God, we so often pray for healing. May we also pray, God, that you would refine our faith, that you would sharpen our sense of our hope in you, that our love for you would become a megaphone of glory for your name. God, that in our sadness and our grief, we could turn to you, knowing that you are there with us and that you love us, Lord. We echo Jeremiah's words, "Great is your faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness, God, and your compassions, they never fail us. So God, please continue to make good on your promises and comfort and love your people. We turn to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship team comes forward, I was reflecting on Lamentations and ministry opportunities, and I thought, this is not the sermon you preach when you're trying to coax people into serving the church. But lament and children's ministry kind of go hand in hand. But I was reflecting on this. Ministry is about people. Ministry is about connecting and loving and caring for others. And you may not see in the grand scheme of things the nursery as this great and wonderful ministry in the kingdom of God. But maybe it'll mean something to a mom who has to drop their kid off and they can hear a word of comfort and strength. And you think about all that you need to have in your life to get through this whole thing and how much how important it was to have Sunday school as a young kid, and how important it is that we have Sunday school teachers sharing and filling that role in the lives of our children. You see, to me, Lamentations is a reminder of just how important it is that we minister to each other. And so I think Lamentations is the perfect book to remind us that we need to serve and love and care for each other, because everybody has some grief and some sorrow. You might get involved in the benevolence and the pantry ministry. You might come in contact with all kinds of people and need to know the hope of Christ. There's an opportunity for you. It might be using your skill set in social media, and it might be something as simple as praying. But we all have a ministry. Sign up for something. Get plugged in. Make this your church family. Let's do this thing together. Let's stand and sing.